ladies and gentlemen, pay no attention to the hum. Because it's a fucking air conditioning, because it's fucking hot.
And you know it's hot, too.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, coming to you live from the Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans Emporium here in picturesque Crown Heights, Brooklyn. Ladies and gentlemen, one year ago.
Jeez. Wow.
1 year ago. Hey, you know what? Maybe
alternate facts.
I know. 1 year ago, three black men got together.
Yes.
And decided to make a podcast. So this is our anniversary episode. I know you're out there congratulating the fuck out of us right now.
Yes,
so,
please do.
We'll get into more of that later, and we'll also talk about Wonder Woman in a little bit. But first, of course, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Stephen Van Patten, and with me, as always, is...
Mark Abbott.
And...
Kirk Johnson.
That's right, folks. We've been doing this... No, the number five was in my head because the actual anniversary is 5 days from now.
Okay.
It's the 18th.
Okay.
But since Lord only knows where the fuck we'll be 5 days from now, we are doing the anniversary episode now. So, there
you go. It's our anniversary.
That's right.
Was that BET? What was that? It's our anniversary.
Steely Dan.
Yeah. Exactly. They do the bluegrass version. Fellas, while we still have some wine left, first of all, let's give it up to pop culture icon and pioneer of being Batman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mr. Adam West.
Adam West.
Who bids us farewell at the age of 88. God bless you, sir.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of people playing Batman, but I want to say Adam West was the one and only Caped Crusader.
Yeah. No, that's yes. Not he's not the Dark Knight.
No,
he's not the Dark Throat.
No,
he is the Caped Crusader.
He was the Caped Crusader, baby. No doubt about it. Had millions of kids all over the ghetto buying those toxic ass
masks
with the little slits.
Can't breathe,
cut your lips.
Sweating.
Oh my God!
Square jaw.
What the hell were our parents thinking?
So plastic. Plastic overalls.
And the satin cape.
Yes.
And a satin cape.
And satin. Not even satin, with polyester satin blend.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, it's, wow. And then he was also the mayor of,
Quahog.
Quahog. That's right.
Simpsons. Not Simpsons. Family Guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He also played himself in Simpsons.
He played himself in Simpsons.
Right. One of the few actors who played himself. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Man, Adam West.
Adam West, 88.
Ain't no kind of superhero name like Adam West either.
No.
No.
Right?
I mean, no, how about that?
You can actually write that into a superhero movie. Yeah. Like, what's your alter ego? Adam West, the first man.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Herbert West, reanimated.
Right.
No, not at all.
Or Leroy East.
You know what? We're not doing this.
So what is he like, the alternate?
Right, he's like the alternate, the black West.
Right. So he's basically what Sam Jackson is to Bruce Willis in Unbreakable.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. I like that.
Leroy
East.
East could be Jamal East.
Jackson South.
Well, LeBron East. Oh, shit.
Oh.
Anyway.
Dig, stab, stab.
Oh, well, you know, come on. I like LeBron James, but, you know, he lost.
Yeah.
I can't stand his fans. His fans are starting to get on my nerves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, better than Michael. Oh, better than Kobe. Drink your beer.
Really?
Drink your beer.
Well, you know
what?
Shut up. And I honestly don't know if it'll ever happen, but when he has a dynasty, then we can start talking about being one of the greatest of all time. But
right.
You know, he took Michael Jordan's playoff scoring thing. He beat that,
mm-hmm. right,
and automatically became the greatest of all time.
Mm.
And I don't know. You know, it's interesting. It's fans are pretty much the same across genres, whether it's sports, whether it's comics, whether it's books. And particularly with movies, you know, when they're determined to like something,
everybody's thirsty for a hero.
It doesn't really matter. It's I don't care what you say. I'm going to harp on these 5 points right here.
Right, right.
And you know,
I mean, there's 13 Warrior fans out there. These are actual motherfuckers out there who like the movie 13th Warrior.
Yeah.
Oh, you actual ain't cop.
and you probably get hate mail from all three of them.
I wish I would. I wish. I do a silent. What is Jay and Silent Bob? Go to their houses. Hey, are you Arturio 1852 Z? Well, yes, I am. Fuck you. In your house, and bulldoze that shit to the ground. Yes, please.
Like but you're right. There are people that have a fan base for things, and nothing you tell them. Although I think the Star Wars fans, me being one of them,
mm-hmm.
I think that's what I honestly will say that when I think about it, Star Wars Episode One,
yeah,
and mm-hmm. Independence Day,
uh-huh.
The first Independence Day,
right.
There's a part of me that feels that there was a whole group of us who were just so happy to have something different that we didn't see the flaws the first time.
And then
people will say to you, you saw episode one, that was trash. No, it wasn't. It was a good Star Wars movie. We haven't had one in 30 years. Then you go back and you go, damn, they were right.
And you know what I did that with? There's a couple of things I did that with. I did that with Ghost Rider. I tried to save Ghost Rider I grew up loving the comics so much.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know? Mm-hmm. And now I've come to my senses, and now if I run into Nicolas Cage, I'm probably gonna punch him in the face. But you know, there was that couple of months where I was like, I want Ghost Rider to be a good movie.
He was standing next to the Jonah Hex fans.
Oh, shit.
That hurts.
Oh, wow.
But think about...
Jonah what? Jonah who?
Right.
But think about the people who grew up watching...
Lost in Space?
That and Wild Wild West.
Now think about if
that was like I remember God rest his soul, but I remember when my father went to see the Phantom because he grew up on
the Phantom.
That and the Shadow, and he came back mad. He was like, I don't know what the hell that crap was.
But which one, the Phantom or the Shadow?
Both. Because he went to see because he was a fan of the radio drama.
Of course.
Of the Shadow radio drama when he was a kid. So, of course, when the movie came out, he went to go see it and comes back, and I was like, what'd you think? And he was like, yeah, no. I don't know what they were thinking, but that wasn't...
I want to say the Shadow was, even though it's guilty of mad cultural appropriation, I want to say it was a little better than Phantom. Like the Phantom.
Well, I think the Phantom knew... Here's the funny thing. The Phantom resurrected itself on sci-fi.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Okay. And it was a really good, I think it was like a mini-series.
Right, Billy Zane, right? We're talking about.
Well, not the Billy Zane was in the movie.
He was in the movie.
But they did a TV show.
Wow. Oh,
which was really, really well done.
Really?
But I think the Phantom movie was purposely trying to be...
Campy.
And that's why we got...
Yeah.
Which is fine. You know, but
But I think it happened at a time when people were trying to get past camping.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Timing is everything.
Timing is everything. No, you're right.
Timing is everything. They were still trying to get past hard. Judge Dredd.
Right.
Oh, wow. Judge
Dredd.
No.
Woo.
Sylvester.
No.
It's hard not being campy when you're a dude running around in a purple tight suit in the jungles of Africa. I mean, shit, Tarzan at least realizes it's hot.
But enough about the Pride Parade.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
So speaking of folks
hating
and but at the same time wanting something, I want to say that DC fans finally got themselves a win.
Yes.
Hey, let me roll something for you.
With Wonder Woman. Now, in a minute, I'm going to play something just to kind of illustrate how frustrated DC fans actually were. It's a little something that a friend of mine who I used to podcast with a while ago, Matt Krull, he put a little song together. So I'll play that in a little bit. But I just want to say, first of all, I thought, great movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
And holy shit. Like, you kind of get the feeling that she could take Superman.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I got that.
You're literally sitting there and you're like, oh, wait a minute.
She might be able to.
Oh, wait a minute. Because remember, Superman has no training. Has no, like, he just kind of like walks in, shows up. As long as you don't have kryptonite, that's your ass.
That's your ass. Right? No, you're
but
right. Yeah.
She's got
Batman level training.
Yes.
She has Batman
that
level
foot
training.
Sweep?
Yeah.
That foot sweep is monster.
No.
That foot sweep.
No. Yo, when she slid on the shield to the other side of the room.
Yes.
She had shield on the floor. That slide, cut, beat that. Dude, that was dope.
It was dope.
Aside from all of the training.
Yeah.
Where she took out the bell tower. But that shit.
Yes.
I just
with
said
the sniper.
That at that point it was just like, you know what? I need to. That's it.
Yes.
I could walk away from this movie right now.
Yeah, that's my $15 right there.
$15 right
there.
There's only two dudes in Marvel that can actually do that, and that's the Hulk and Thor.
Right.
Yeah, right. Think about it. It's the Hulk and Thor.
Pretty much.
Took the whole church out.
And,
I mean,
it's interesting because she obviously, her whole, the lasso.
Yes.
That compels you to tell the truth.
And it's really hot.
And yes. obviously that's a nice metaphor for what women go through.
Yeah.
Because we suck.
We suck, yeah.
Apparently.
We do suck.
Like
the point of view.
You know.
Though.
Right.
World.
And it was like, it was interesting because there was a certain naivete.
Yes.
In her early development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think a lot of men and women in their dating lives, they go through that sort of figuring out the flaws of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
And I think to some degree, like speaking on metaphors, that the whole, like that whole little argument with her and Steve, you know, it's like, oh, well, what do you mean you don't want to do this and all that? And it's like I kind of felt like, you know, it's like we've all been there,
yes,
in some kind of way. And I think that's what, like, along with the great fight choreography and everything else like that, those little moments are, for a superhero movie, it's like really relatable stuff.
Right.
So that was my takeaway from it, at least.
Yeah, actually, like you said, I did appreciate the fact that, you know, you really played her as a fish out of water.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was really, all right, like, you really I need these people to show me around.
Right.
But, but you know, there was a point where I don't want them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just need to find Aries.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? That she's single-minded that she was so single-minded that she was naive and vulnerable to the machinations and dynamics of the modern world.
Mm-hmm.
No, you cannot walk around in the streets of London with your sword and shield. Mm-hmm. No, these dresses are not made for fighting.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, this is a chauvinistic society you're now in.
Yeah.
So as a woman, you're not.
You're actually expected to be quiet.
Right. You're not invited to talk to politicians about politics or even a war room. You know what I mean? And I did enjoy that how they played that and how they allowed her to grow with that.
Right. I mean, I felt like it borrowed from Captain America and Thor.
Yeah. to the extent
a little bit,
where, right.
But not in a way not that was a, annoying or didn't feel fresh.
Authentic. Right. Or at least right. For a woman. Because it's like for, you know, Captain America, the thing about Captain America is like, we were talking about what, the first Avengers, I guess, when Captain America was out of the war, mm-hmm. when he woke up in the new, you know, he's still considered Captain America. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew him as, so when Captain America is going around like trying to figure out society's change now, mm-hmm. it's not really that harmful mm-hmm. because he's still considered a celebrity within the circles.
Right.
Yes.
Right? And then when you got the Thor still sees himself as a celebrity of his own. Right.
Yeah.
Within the circles. So it didn't even matter like, what.
Yeah, exactly.
The,
Thor you know, knew who the fuck he was.
Right, right. And he, oh, no, yes. All he needed to do was get the hammer. mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly.
And she had a, like a, almost like a spiritual mission. Like a, it was a sacred mission. I mean, not spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sacred mission mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. save your motherfuckers from yourselves by getting the Ares.
Right. Right.
I don't care about none of that. And her, and seeing the devastation.
Yeah.
And the horror, like the for real of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we never got that with Thor and Rogers.
True.
Like, really seeing, you know, the suffering of the innocents during a wartime.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, because we never got that from Captain America first.
Wait, well,
and Thor.
One of the reasons, well, with Captain America, they didn't want him in the war to begin with. He was right. just a poster boy. Mm-hmm. He was never meant
to be there.
To be, like, right. a fighter.
But even though we never saw scenes of him in the VA hospitals.
No, that's true. That's
true. True.
When the war, that's when true. The wounded are coming in, mm-hmm. or some dude screaming because they had to amputate his leg,
mm-hmm.
or somebody shell shocked, we never got to see him see that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And Wonder Woman seeing this
mm-hmm.
in real time, right there, not like at the hospital or anything. She's seeing that shit on the front.
Yeah.
That shit is heavy, especially yeah. when we talk about the trenches of World War One.
Yeah,
that goes down, and you know, and I like that it fucked with him.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. But I was going to say, what I do appreciate the fact that even though she was a fish out of water, mm-hmm. that wasn't the crux of how the story was built.
Right.
Because a lot of times you have these fish out of water stories where they're so out of water
mm-hmm.
that they're trying to acclimate themselves. To yeah. society, and she didn't. She was like, I know where I am. I know that this is not my island. I know I'm in a place that I've never been before.
Right.
But I'm not so far out of water where I can't maneuver or function.
Right.
You know, some things are like,
and she never loses sight of right. what she's there for.
Right.
It's
right.
never a question of she starts liking stuff going on, except for the mm-hmm. ice cream.
Yeah, that was actually my favorite part.
She was like, never lose sight of the mission.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was refreshing also.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to play a little bit of this track that Matt Kroll made, only because it really captures the frustration that DC fans have been experiencing.
Yeah, I never felt that, so let me see
and
what that's
about. So, see if this will play down real quick. And
audio on high.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit tired of what DC's putting down. Turn around. Every now and then I think back to Dawn of Justice and the WB's. Every now and then I get a little bit hopeful that a flick will come and turn it back. Every now and then I hear that metal guitar theme and I can't help but just stand up and shout.
Turn around, franchise.
Every now and then I sing a
franchise.
Every now and then there's a fresh start and I need you now to fight. Never need to fail to be better. Because the crowd that was Suicide Squad caused all of my trust to be severed. And Diana, you'll be making it right. Unless Ruby
Dear friend Matthew Kroll, yeah,
yes, nice.
That I felt okay. Really,
okay,
yeah,
that
pretty much speaks for itself.
Yeah.
So, big shout out to him and thanks to him for letting us letting us play that down. Speaking on something that sorry, Kirk, what?
We should really mention the third act of Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Because that's the only part I felt like... all right, you know what? More particularly, the fight sequence with Ares.
With Ares.
That felt kind of... It didn't have the same kind of punch or energy as the other fight scenes.
True.
Is that, you know...
No, I can see that.
I mean, there was a point where it was kind of, I felt it was too... Was it too dark or too...
You know what's
much of her getting hit?
I think it was just... There was a lot of fire.
Right.
Here's what's interesting about that. And I thought about it when leaving the theater.
Right.
Unlike many of the villains, both in Marvel and in DC, Ares was not a villain that was constant.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
In that we knew about him.
Right.
And those little subtleties that he did to, like, get the gas made and stuff like that. But most of the time, you have the villain out front. You see him.
Mm-hmm.
He's active within things that... Right.
Not a red herring.
While I did think the reveal was interesting,
mm-hmm.
This was the only time we really truly saw Ares.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was because being that Ares is not a character or a mythology that people are not familiar with, where we're like, okay, we really don't need to explain to you who this guy is because everybody knows Greek mythology or should know it.
Right, to an extent at least.
Yeah, you know, if you don't know it, then you played God of War, so you know who Ares is.
You know Ares is, right.
So I can kind of understand where you might be coming from with that because we never get a chance to know Ares in terms of...
This universe
or why, you know, we got the overall cookie cutter... You know, man is corrupt, and I'm proving.
Satan
you know.
Story. Right?
Yes, like, it literally is God and Lucifer.
Right.
You know, but I agree. Yeah, there was a lot of fire. there's a whole lot of
smoke.
It. A lot of smoke.
Fire, smoke.
I can't help but feel. What I really wanted to see was Wonder Woman and Ares going at it like Achilles and Hector. In Troy.
Troy.
That fight scene was like nice.
Mm-hmm.
Real fucking nice.
Mm-hmm.
And to see Diana and Ares tap out like that, like Ares is like, you know what? I'm gonna play old school.
Mm-hmm.
Like you probably wasn't there when I took, you know, when he was going after Troy. Let me show you what I'll get into.
But they didn't train. You know, the funny thing is that because they kept it a secret that she was the god killer.
Right.
They never really prepped her to fight him.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It was never really them prepping her to fight Ares.
Yeah.
As more than it was just, you
well,
know.
Well, no, they were. You know, Antiopia was. she knew.
Well, she knew.
And her mom knew, and her mom wanted to keep it. Oh, wait. Spoilers.
Yeah, we're drowning in spoilers.
We're already drowning.
I know, but I guess, you know, Antiope, she knew. Mm-hmm. I mean, mom gave me the story about the God Killer sword and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But when she banged the bracelets together and did that mm-hmm. move, it wasn't like, you know, Antiope, she knew. And she, I think she was, you know what it was like? It's like she was doing, almost that movie. It's like, I'm not going to tell you the real. Oh, you know what? It's like The Last Dragon. I'm going to train you so you get the confidence to realize that you are this.
The glow.
But I ain't going to tell you. So, you know, Wonder Woman had to have the glow. She had to have the confidence and realize, motherfucker, I got the glow. Because that's what it came down to. That's when she realized she can absorb your lightning and use that.
I don't even have words for that.
I just want to go back to Themyscira and see if they got a pizza shop now.
The last is directing your pizza to Themyscira's pizza.
Yes, you heard it here first. Last Dragon reference. But that's what it was.
No, I'm not knocking you. I'm not knocking that analogy.
Right.
It's not one I probably would have reached back and looked for. But hell, if it works for you, it can work. And if you haven't seen The Last Dragon, you need
you're
to pick 12. Up a copy. You need to pick up a copy of it.
You can't help but say
you're 12, and we have to wonder why your parents are letting you listen to this.
She got the glow. Yeah, she is. So she got the glow.
Okay. So Wonder Woman met expectations. Speaking of expectations,
yes.
Let's talk about this Black Panther trailer,
son. Yay!
Dude!
Son!
Okay, first of all, I'm just happy that Angela Bassett's hair looks right.
Yeah,
because I don't always say stuff like this, but with the way these, white folks fucked up Halle Berry's hair in the X-Men movies.
Word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really. I was very relieved to see some solid, beautiful
locks. Yes, some for
on
real for
Angela Bassett. That was nice.
That was real.
Among many of the other visual treasures in this trailer. Mark, what were your initial thoughts?
There is a little bit of worry. Mm-hmm. For me, with the trailer.
Oh, God damn it.
No. Not that I think the movie's going to, but I didn't want too much too soon.
Right.
And unlike some of the other Marvel trailers, because this is not a character that is as popular,
mm-hmm.
and let's be real, I mean, he's popular in certain circles. But he's not like the forefront character that many of us, some of us, maybe a lot of people don't know who Black Panther is.
Right. No.
Well, they're going to find out.
And
by Civil War.
Because of what this movie is going to mean to a lot of us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For me, I felt maybe a little less would have been more.
No.
Yeah, because because you know what? I don't want the bar set so high for this film that people go into it expecting this really, really grandiose thing and don't get it. And then
you worry too much.
No, well,
look at Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well
nobody knew who the hell they were.
But,
and all of a sudden, the talking raccoon
But wait a minute. But Guardians of the Galaxy was a pleasant surprise.
And this... Iron Man?
This...
The first Iron Man?
No, if we're going to go backwards like that,
okay.
We're talking about throwing the dice down the table
mm-hmm.
with Iron Man and all the first ones because they didn't know if those were going to take.
Yes.
It's not a worry of me whether or not the movie is going to be successful.
Uh-huh.
It will be successful. What I worry about is that too much onus is put onto this film to be something that it doesn't live up to.
You mean like Obama?
Wow. Hold on, Mark. Hold on, Mark.
As you
don't
see.
Don't kill him, Mark. Don't kill him. Don't hurt him, Mark. Don't hurt him.
After a year of this, when I speak, there's always some snide-ass remark, some joke. I don't know why I do this show. I'm never taken seriously.
Oh, stop it. You're taking seriously.
I'm going back to my trailer.
I believe what you say. I understand what you're saying. Okay. I do understand what you're saying.
Okay. And I understand it, too. I'm just fucking with you.
I know you are.
At the same time.
But I was impressed by it.
Right.
Of course.
I was very impressed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And am very excited to see that this is what they put together so far.
Yeah.
For a trailer. It wasn't some kind of trailer where, you know, the camera's running through the tall grass and all of a sudden you just see this mask pop up with two eyes and a Black Panther. Right. You know. But
they had some style to it.
Yes.
They got some style to it. Yes. They got some flavor in it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Y'all know y'all gonna ask me these questions. Y'all,
I
love your answer. I thought what you had to say was great. Look, only reason I said that is because, you know, like, look, as comic book readers, comic book experts, the three of us will go to that movie, and I think we will get what we want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, the Obama joke, because some people, when they saw a black president, they thought we were going to get reparations
realizing he's still a politician.
Right.
This is politics in America. He can only go so far.
Right. And barbershop logic does not apply.
Right.
Now, as far as Black Panther movie goes, I mean, I understand what you're saying. And I also understand it from the point of guys like us not wanting to hear Ray Ray and Pookie talking about, well, yo, man, but I'm saying, why ain't he do this? And why ain't there, you know, why ain't there some trap music in this movie? And, you know, and whatever the fuck else,
mm-hmm.
you know, dudes are going to, like, come up with to complain about.
Right, yeah.
And I get that. I'm not going to want to hear that. Well, actually, I don't really talk to too many people that listen to trap music, but...
I know a bunch of motherfuckers, actually.
Yeah, exactly. But
plenty niggas in the bag, actually, that I know.
Yes, exactly. Them. They got an album coming
out.
Yeah, exactly. Those cats.
Ice cream shop.
Right. Plenty
niggas in the bag. I'm sorry, yes.
Yes.
But, on my side, I would invite that, actually.
Okay.
Just for the simple fact that, you know, that's part of the nerd culture.
Right.
That's part of pop culture. Mm-hmm. Is to, you're going to have those who are going to complain and denigrate because they ain't have this or they ain't have that. You know, I just said this shit about Wonder Woman. I love Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I just said, you know, it should have been like that fight she should have bought Troy. You know, so you're going to get that. And you're going to get that from cats who ain't know nothing about the character.
Right.
Or the intellectual property, right?
Mm-hmm. Right?
You're going to some cats who do know a lot about it and mm-hmm. still not be. You know, I knew one guy who hated the Ta-Nehisi Coates Marvel Black Panther. He did not like it.
Okay.
And I was amazed. He did not like the concept of the mask actually being like a actual alive technological like mask.
Mm.
Like the mask wasn't something you just put on your head. It was part of the suit that was almost like a symbiote suit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was all vibranium and tech.
Right.
I thought that was just brilliant. I wouldn't mind if I saw that in the movie. That instead of, like, it did that shit like Tony Stark's watch.
Right.
Okay.
Right? When it came alive with nanobites and tech. I wouldn't mind that. This dude didn't like that. And there's other things he didn't like about the idea of the Black Panther, and that's a critique on him. And I was like, you know what? I like that. That's good. That's what we actually, you know, we actually need that to normalize this idea of people of color, superheroes, and black superheroes. You know, they got to get the same kind of heat. And the same kind of love,
right?
Mm-hmm. You got to get them both. When I saw that trailer, and that beat came in from Run the Jewels,
right?
Man, I lost my shit. I lost all my. I shit, it came out of my ass, said, hey, bye, Kirk, and then left. I had to say bye. I didn't have to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. It was.
Mr. Hanky.
Mr. Hanky. Miss
Pooh.
Or Miss Hanky. Yeah, Miss Hanky's like, that's too black for me. I got to go. Yeah. But it was something that, you know what I saw in that trailer? I saw why Ryan Coogler is a name in Hollywood. I saw why it should take Marvel that long to come out with Black Panther.
Okay.
Because they learned how to make a superhero movie trailer. Henceforth, right. I believe they learned how to make a movie. Introduction to Iron Man, right? I was saying, when you're saying not a lot of people, Black Panther, for lack of a better term, at best, is B-level, right?
Because
mm-hmm. not everybody knows. But there's people online who still want to figure out who the hell Black Panther is and ask who's to put on posts and do a thing on Black Panther. Iron Man had that same problem before the movie came out. Right? Some of you were saying he was at best a B, at worst a C character. Mm-hmm. Right? Because nobody knew who the fuck... The Manchurian was one of his enemies.
Well, that... You know what? It's crazy because that also speaks to the fact that how Marvel ran their business back in the day in terms of different characters. It's like, yeah. If you weren't selling, your book got killed.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so... it's like... I want to say that affected, like, who got shine and who didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that also affected the X-Men, because the X-Men got hot, stayed hot. Not talking about the movies, I'm talking about the comics.
The comics, yes.
Comics. Got hot, stayed hot.
Had shoot-offs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Had offshoots, yes. Right? That a load of them, that some didn't do well, some did do well.
And then it got to the point,
mm-hmm.
that I want to say in the... Let's call it early 90s. I want to say Marvel transitioned from Spider-Man guest starring in everybody's shit to Wolverine guest starring to the point where you can go buy like 8 books and you'd be like, okay, realistically speaking, how the fuck does Wolverine have time to hang out with Ghost Rider in this book, Punisher in this book, right.
and
it's like it makes no sense.
No, exactly. But
you know, it's a business, so you have to run your business according mm-hmm. to, you know, who's selling.
Yeah.
Right.
The movies have changed that.
Yes. Yeah.
Now you release an Iron Man comic now, that shit's gonna fly off the shelf.
Shit. People's mad because, you know, they got Ironheart.
Right.
No one would have cared.
Yeah.
Like what, 2 decades ago.
That's true. You couldn't have sold that.
You couldn't have sold that.
Couldn't have sold that anyway. So.
But, yeah. I mean, I'm just very confident about Black Panther. I mean, I don't see... They know what they're doing.
And it's all part of a changing landscape.
It's part, yes, exactly.
An evolving landscape.
Right. What is the first movie coming up for Phase 3? Or is it part of Phase 2?
I want to say that is... if it's not...
No, it's probably still... I think Phase...
Still in Phase 2.
I want to say...
We're still
in Phase 2.
Okay.
Because I think Infinity Wars is what's going to take us into Phase 3.
Oh, okay.
I think. I'm not sure. Because they're shooting Infinity Wars now.
Right,
right.
And they're about to start production on Ant-Man 2. Ant-Man and Wasp.
So, somewhere along the line, I'm thinking anything that's coming out now is still kind of closing out Phase 2.
Mm-hmm, right.
So that when Infinity Wars is broken into 2 films.
Yes. Yeah,
so
right.
So I'm guessing in between Infinity Wars and Infinity Wars 2, I'm assuming Ant-Man 2 is going to come out.
Right.
But
wait, where's Ragnarok fall in on this?
Right, because Ragnarok comes as last next
it's
this
coming,
year.
It's coming out this year.
Right, but in terms of phases,
phase 2, yeah.
I will assume phase 2. I'm not sure.
What okay. is the end of phase 2?
Or maybe the tail end of phase. It
right, because
the
you
end
have
of phase
because
2
for,
going
because
that's there's, Norse apocalypse.
Oh, right, yeah. but the thing is, you got, you know, I you know what, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, please feel free to comment, set us right if we're wrong on this.
Because
you have, you know, whatever. Captain America,
mm-hmm.
Iron Man, Thor are the phase 1, right?
Yeah.
With the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these new guys. You have
Captain America, Doctor Strange,
Thor,
the Hulk.
Right. And they're all part of isn't that all part of like a phase 1?
That was phase 1.
Because you already have you already have Captain America. Captain America has three movies. Mm-hmm. Iron Man has three movies. Mm-hmm. And this was
so the last Iron movie. Man and Iron Man 2. Captain America, the Incredible Hulk, Thor.
Yeah.
There was one, and I want to say one more because I'm trying to think about the box set that I have home that fit that narrowed out Phase 1.
Okay.
Is
it Guardians of the Galaxy?
No.
Was it Iron Man 1, 2, and
Guardians 3? Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, I don't know if 3 was part of that phase. I don't think it was. I think 3 was part of the second phase.
Okay.
Because somewhere in here, I'm still waiting to hear whether or not they're going to do the Nick Fury film. Because supposed to have his own story. I don't know what they're going to do with him.
Right.
But I think we're coming to the close of the second phase.
Okay.
And getting ready to go into the third phase.
Right.
I always kind of figured that the Avengers movie closes out
for that phase.
May be in the third phase already because we had the Age of Ultron already.
Yeah.
So whatever came between Avengers and Age of Ultron probably was phase two. We're probably in phase three
right
at this
now.
Point.
To introduce, because we're going to have Doctor Strange,
Ant-Man, Black Panther,
Captain Marvel is going to be introduced.
Captain Marvel is coming soon.
Wasp is going to be introduced to the new Ant-Man.
Right.
So, yeah.
And the funny thing is, we could have just Googled this.
Yeah, we could have.
We could have, but, you know, this is fresh. Mm-hmm. This is you know,
this
no
is
chaser.
Fresh,
yeah.
Fresh, drunken.
Nope. Yeah. Right. Straight no chaser. You get the foolishness.
Phase labeling.
And, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The phases. Ooh. Real quick.
Mm.
Love. Flores Kinsumba, Lupita Nyong'o, Danai Gurira. Just so that y'all know how to pronounce and the names of them female Dora Milaje that are kicking ass in the trailer. I'm so tired of motherfuckers not figuring that shit out. There was one dude go, hey, isn't that Michonne her name is Danai Gurira. All right? She has a name. She's actually a director and a playwright.
You realize.
So, yes, tell your African name challenged movie reviewer friends to check us out. Rewind us to like 42 minutes in to get your correct pronunciation.
If you can say Dumbledore and all the motherfuckers in Harry Potter, you can say Florence Kasumba.
You mean Richard Harris?
Yeah, Richard Harris. But Dumbledore is that much more harder than anybody else can figure out. But yeah, motherfuckers will say that shit quick.
You see how my point?
I saw your point.
Yeah. Okay, you got my point.
Richard Harris,
because you call him Dumbledore. That's not the actor's name.
I know his name. No.
No, I know. No,
oh,
that's wrong.
No. I know it was Richard Harris. I know his son Jared Harris.
Yes. Yes.
And I know Leroy Harris.
Oh, shut up.
Bro. Oh.
Down the street.
Wait, his cousin's Leroy East.
That's right.
Sorry, yes, go ahead. Yes. Okay.
South by Southwest.
That's my...
Oh, shit. But enough about Kanye's children. So,
Mama.
We're supposed to occasionally talk about horror, but like the rest of America, none of us went to see The Mummy.
Yeah, better shit to do without
and,
money.
I mean, well, you know, I gotta admit, I'm a little surprised. I mean, shit, it's hot outside. I mean, I figure it's a good way to spend 2 hours by yourself in air conditioning. Look, here's the thing.
I think people...
Egyptians had slaves. Tom Cruise kind of has slaves thanks to Scientology.
Yeah.
You would think that's a match made in heaven or hell or somewhere. So, what happened? I mean, and I'm not saying I'm not going to see the movie. I'm on the fence. I kind of feel some kind of way after seeing the documentary Going Clear. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this, guys?
You know what? I think we're in the same boat with, like, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm.
I think people are tired of it.
Okay.
Okay.
I think,
But wait, Pirates of the Caribbean,
well,
that's a exhausted franchise.
But that's what I mean. I think people have gotten to the point where the constant reboot of the same classic horror characters, Mm-hmm. And to be perfectly honest with you, I mean, that trailer did not even sell me.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw the trailer for that, I was like, okay, so I don't get this. What is this actually supposed to be? Because it didn't seem like the Mummy from early 2000s, the Brendan Fraser one,
where the gender has changed.
You know, and I have the gender was not the issue.
Right.
The execution of that trailer just seemed to me, it was like, okay, there's a lot of sand.
Right.
And somebody's angry that you woke them up.
Right, right. Right, yes, yeah. All the mummies seem angry.
So
I
don't get it. I know that this is supposed to be part one of many things that they're trying to do with the Universal Monsters.
It was called Dark Universe.
And they're spending a lot of dough getting Russell Crowe and Tom Cruise in the same flick.
I don't know if people are... There's this thing about just rebooting stuff that's not that old.
Yeah.
Like, it's a different... I can understand, what was that, last summer, nobody went to see Ben-Hur.
Right.
Yeah, no.
Although Ben-Hur... The last time we saw Ben-Hur was the late 60s.
Yeah, 50s, 60s.
But
Charles Heston.
I mean, damn. The Mummy, the third Mummy film, isn't even 20-something years old.
Right.
And we're already rebooting the Mummy again. because I apparently, Jekyll and Hyde are in this.
Yeah.
And then at some point I also read that they're doing a Van Helsing film.
Yes. Yes, and A Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Which, of course, and A Creature from the Black Lagoon, and of course, Dracula is going to show up again, and Frankenstein. And I think at this point, some characters are just best left
dead.
For lack of a better term.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just put them back in the sarcophagus.
Well, let me ask you this, because you brought up the good point about rebooting over and over and over again. We're about to see another Spider-Man reboot.
Yes.
Homecoming,
Do you think... Yeah, do you think...
Is it a reboot?
Now,
that's a reboot.
And we're not doing an origin story.
It's
not an origin story.
Not an origin story, but new actor, new circumstance.
New distribution,
I don't know.
I mean, because let's look at it from this point. The Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would you have considered that a reboot?
Which one?
Ed Norton?
The Ed Norton one. Because they do the gamma radiation thing while the credits are rolling in the beginning. We don't go back into what we saw with Ang Lee's Hulk.
Right.
Where we go through the whole, you know. And so some people consider it a reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Some people consider it, oh, well, you know, we're just continuing
the story.
You know, it didn't work the first time.
Whatever happened
between the two of these films, we're just a gray area and we'll just keep moving.
I see what you're saying.
Because with this Spider-Man, it's a completely, you know, Tony Stark's involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of the tech is a little more further along down the lines.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Keaton as the Vulture
is a nice pull.
The hottest Aunt May in the history of Aunt May.
Which still makes sense, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had a hot aunt. I was like, wow, my aunt is hot.
Really?
Yeah, I saw that shit at 15. I was like, huh. Wow. I even tried to kick it to her friend. Her friend was hot, too.
Good man.
I know, yeah.
Yes, I was 15.
Don't.
Hey, 15, you're not really responsible for how you feel.
No, you're not.
I'm sorry. For anybody that doesn't know.
Fantastic Four was a reboot.
And technically, for the third time.
Yes.
Because there was a Roger Corman version.
Yes.
That never saw the light.
Why would you bring that up?
Oh, my God. I
bring that up because it proves how long Marvel has been trying to get it right.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. And every time they realize, okay, we didn't get it right the first. Let's try it one more time.
Mm-hmm.
This time with Spider-Man, someone said, you know what? Rather than just do the whole origin thing, let's drop him. Like you said earlier, let's drop him in.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically he was a fan favorite.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, people were excited to see him.
Who doesn't love Spider-Man?
He did a couple of ABs and then he was gone again.
Mm-hmm.
But with this thing with Universal, it's just sort of like...
A little too contrived, I want to say. It feels contrived.
Yeah.
Even the fact that they actually came out saying that we want to do a dark universe, as opposed to, you know, let's not come out with that. This is supposed to be a phase of things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just see how this works first, right?
Right.
Because nobody really had the idea that Marvel had this idea to do a Marvel franchise until after they realized Iron Man was going to do good.
Right.
Am I correct there, Steve?
Yeah, I'd say that's right.
And it feels like, so now it just feels like, hey guys, we're doing a whole monster franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our first movie. Let me get your money.
Right?
Right. As opposed to, here's a great story. Why don't you come check it out? You wouldn't mind giving us your money.
And I just have to throw this out here because I read this earlier today.
Okay.
So apparently, along with this whole thing, Disney's doing pretty much the same thing.
Oh, God.
Now that they realize that they can do live action.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And make money off of the same thing we saw in
Once
Anna,
Upon a Time, America. Also, is a very popular show.
Now.
Yes, I know what you're going. I know where you're going with this.
I read an article.
Lion King?
No. They're doing Aladdin.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Okay, wait. So, according to one of the producers...
I'm scared already.
They said they want to be culturally diverse with the cast.
Okay.
You know, and yada, yada, yada. Okay. So, they're casting two unknowns to play Aladdin and Jasmine.
Okay.
Apparently, the Twitterverse blew up because... Guy Ritchie is directing.
Oh, God.
And he wants Tom Harding as Jafar.
Oh, I read about that, yes.
Which everybody's like, whoa. I'm confused.
We're going with diversity
with Tom Harding. And I love Tom Harding.
Who doesn't like Tom Harding?
As Jafar, especially now that my man from Fear the Walking Dead
is on the line. Yeah.
Because he just got killed, apparently. Come on.
Because I think Will is in talks to play the genie.
Yes.
Fucking A. God damn it.
Okay.
Will Smith.
Hey. I see John Leguizamo play the genie for an Aladdin story. For a live action.
You know
action.
What?
I don't even.
For a live action.
Do you know what?
You know what? Yeah. I don't think I could
take
last
my $15.
Minutes.
No.
I'd be with that.
You know what?
It's out.
It's a TV show.
I don't think I'd last 15 minutes watching him.
It is hilarious.
It'd probably be the most hysterical thing. Him. Because even when he played clown.
Yeah.
In,
You've been violated, good man.
Dude, real quick.
He was the best part of that movie.
Yes, he
was. It's called A 101 Nights. It's a British production.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And Jason Lee played Aladdin.
Okay.
Because actually in the original story, Aladdin wasn't actually from Persia.
Okay.
He was a thief. And it was the whole idea of that multiculturalism, they actually played with the idea, or they introduced the idea that when you talk about Iran and China and India, they're actually connected in terms of the land.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Culturally different, but they had so many different things going on between them that you can play that.
Right.
So the wizard who actually introduced, who was looking for the lamp, was this African dude from East Africa.
Okay.
Aladdin's Chinese.
All right.
Living in I think, like in Persia.
Mm-hmm.
And John Leguizamo's playing the genie. And there was another cat. And there was another cat playing the other genie, because there's two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy, but it was kind of like, you looked at it like this. So that's what diversity looks like. That's what historically possible.
Mm. But Tom Harding.
But Tom Harding as Jafar.
Not even Jeremy fucking Irons. You know,
Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
Right, he can play Jafar better than
I would dislike that less. Yeah, sure, exactly. Anyway, you know what? We yeah. only got a few minutes
where
left.
Where did we come from that?
I don't know.
It was live action.
So, fellas, it is our anniversary.
Also. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's our anniversary.
Very nice, Kurt.
Sorry.
Can't wait to see you at karaoke.
Man.
So.
The whole place go dark.
Yeah, I know. Here's the thing. It's our anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's at least a couple of people who've been listening to every episode and whatnot. And we actually, you know, as I mentioned last time we were together, we've got listeners in the Netherlands now. We just got a couple of clicks from England.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, look, we're not blowing up in, like, a big way or anything, but, you know, we're having fun. We're doing a, you know, cool thing here, I think. It's been a year. Real quick, what do people not see that you think is our behind the scenes je ne sais quoi? Like, what do you think that we do that people are actually sort of missing?
He keeps calling this place an emporium. I'm still trying to figure out.
Emporium. What?
If I put a camera on this place, because I'm like, whenever he says that, I keep thinking of the streets of America. Like, we got, like, people selling rugs over here. Guy over here has silk.
Nice.
You know, letters of transit to get out of Casablanca over here. I mean, like,
meats and fish.
Meats, yeah.
Cumin and curry and cumin and turmeric and spices all galore.
I mean,
and you know what? I'm gonna keep saying it. Fuck y'all.
No, I like that.
Beef, wine, shenanigan, emporium.
The emporium.
Yeah, different kinds of beef, different kind of wine, and a whole different kind of shenanigans.
Yeah. Every time.
Shenanigan tent. What goes on a shenanigan tent? Holy. There's an age limit, man.
You know what I think they don't? It's interesting. What we do to prep is interesting. How we sit here. We normally take almost an hour before we actually go on and record this.
Yeah.
And we cover... the stuff that we cover... Sometimes much of it never ends up on the show.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the most interesting things because we have to, because we have so many different broad topics that we cover. Yeah. I think it's actually amazing that we can narrow everything down and not go so far off on a tangent that we can't come back to it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Good ringleader. Mm-hmm. He was a good ringleader.
I do what I can. Kirk, anything that's surprised you since we've started this?
I want to actually like you guys. You guys are awesome. I didn't think I was going to like y'all motherfuckers. You know, I knew Steve from work because, you know, we knew each other. I kind of just met Mark recently after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so... You know, and I'm pretty much like a hermit, closed off. I don't really go out a lot and shit. Mm-hmm. I don't really, you know, people are funny. But,
you and I have had some of the most interesting banter.
I like you, dude.
No, even when we get into those, like, really, like...
Where you feel like we're mocking you?
No.
Oh, kind of like the time when you wouldn't see... You saw 8 Mile, but you won't see.
We're going to keep going back to that one, aren't we?
The energy these guys give off. The energy, really. If you had a camera, if you were to do this at a bar or at a cafe,
mm-hmm.
right? I guarantee you, you'd walk by, you'd hear what we're talking about and how we're responding and carrying on with each other, and you would come in and just get a drink just to be around that kind of space. That's what it is. The laughter, the energy, the sincerity and the authenticity of our feelings,
yeah,
and that we're willing to express them like how we express them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I guess that is really the thing that plays off that everybody kind of feels when they listen to us. But there's so much more just it being here as well. You know what I mean? It's just that much more amplified when you're actually here.
I do have to, because I know we're running against the clock,
mm-hmm,
but I have to ask Stephen, in this entire year, what would you say is the most memorable and most meaningful episode?
Meaningful or memorable?
Oh,
well, no. Well, it kind of intertwines. That
right.
the one episode,
okay,
that we may have done that hit home.
Mm-hmm.
That hit home would have to be. There's a couple. It's been. I can't really pick just one. Episode 18. That was our second episode with Will Feliciano here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I felt like that was bananas.
Yes.
and seriously, when people are inquiring about the show,
uh-huh,
I usually just send them episode 18.
Mm. All right, yeah.
Because that, I felt like that was one of our stronger, zanier moments. I mean, and the thing is, a lot of the shows, we've gotten serious.
Mm-hmm.
There was the Trump episode where,
yeah,
we were fucking traumatized.
Yeah, well,
and
like
we were dealing with that.
American trauma. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Exactly. The episode we had with Shay was actually kind of serious.
Mm.
That was
a deep episode.
Yeah, exactly. That was more of a, like, a real serious, heavy discussion. Just, you know, we were adulting in that episode.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's learning to do that.
Yeah.
She can get you to adult real quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I want to say the, because I forgot about the name that coon joke game we played.
Right.
Because that was me now taking Shay's adulting and then,
uh-huh,
turning, mm, it back on its ass. I had kind of forgotten about that until somebody that was you. Somebody reminded me about that, and I was just like, oh, yeah, that's right. We did do that, didn't we? You know, it's for me, it's just been... The whole thing has been great because it's just a way for us to show that, you know, we have this knowledge,
mm-hmm,
and we have our very unique slant on it.
Right.
And it's not, you know, and the thing is, it's like, it's not just because we're black. It's because we're actually paying attention.
Right.
We're actually kind of smart.
You know, almost accidentally. Smart.
Or as he said in Wonder Woman, above average.
Right.
Home run.
Hurrah. I ain't getting a rump from that guy.
Get him a rump. A rump.
You know, so I think, because honestly, like, we play on that and we play with that.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, it's three black dudes. But that's not our crutch.
Right. No.
And that's one of the things I'm most proud of. I gotta admit, though, when we got asked that racism question at the weigh station, that caught me off guard.
What was the question again?
You know, it has something to do with aliens and racism. It was the aliens
question.
Yeah,
it was
actually special. You know, and I'm not sure if he just figured we were going to take that in a certain way because the aliens are black. I mean,
right.
I don't know where she was going with that. It almost felt like, well, they're black, so I have to ask them a black question.
Yeah,
right. You know, and not to, you know, not to knock the poor girl or you know, not knock anybody, but that if anything has surprised me, it was that. I mean, it just caught me completely off guard. But I'm having a fucking ball. That goes without, you know, should go without saying, but, you know, there it is.
A rump.
So, apologies to Dungeon Radio and to One Essence Radio for us going 5 minutes over, but see, I managed to get that shout out in real quick. Fellas.
Yes, yes.
Let's raise the glasses, and once again, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Rest in peace, Adam West.
Adam West.
To the back grave.
Hello, Wonder Woman.
That is us for tonight. Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. A year old, baby.
Yeah.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov.